Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on ClaudioRelsano.com. Brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. As always, would like to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and my fantastic producer, who we couldn't do the show without him, Adam Zalouf. Today, we have a very special guest. She is the director of the Italian-American program at the Heinz History Center here in Pittsburgh, Melissa Marinaro. Melissa, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Claudio. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Before we go on, one of my goals, I'm a big goal setter, and when they built the Heinz History Center, first of all, Melissa, what year did they build the Heinz History Center?
The building as we know it in the Strip District became the History Center in 1996. Although as an organization, we've been around since 1879.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that. But I do remember years ago, and my dad was with me, and I said, when they finished the building, I didn't remember what year, but I remember saying, I'd love to have something in there of mine one of these days, God willing. And then when I did go in there one time and I saw all these great artifacts, which we'll be talking about today, that really ramped up my goal that much more. And fortunately for me, and because of you, I have a few things in the Heinz History Center, and I will always be grateful to you for that. And when I go to CMU to coach, I go that way. I go by the Heinz History Center, and I always look at that building. And not only I have a trophy in there that I gave you, and the shirt and the helmet and the stopwatch and some other things, but my mom's picture is there with a little story, and I will always be grateful to you for that. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for entrusting the Italian American program to be a keeper of your family's history, because that's how I look at it, as we are a vehicle to help many people in our Pittsburgh metro area and Western Pennsylvania to help preserve their family stories, because it does relate to our regional history.
Right. And there's nobody who does it better than you in the Heinz History Center, for sure. So tell us about your responsibilities at the Heinz History Center.
Sure. Well, I'm a member of the museum team, and my main job at the History Center is to document and interpret the Italian-American community of Western Pennsylvania. And the way that the public knows us doing this is through our collections. I'm the person who's going out into the community and working with individuals and families, or sometimes businesses and organizations, to figure out how do we tell your story through objects, through photographs and letters, or through oral history interviews, which I do a lot of as well for the History Center. So that's the collection side of things, but I also do public programming and I do community outreach, pretty much anything that relates to Italian American history in our building, I'm involved with.
That's great. That's great. And as I said, you do a fantastic job with it. And I will talk about it later, but I encourage anybody to go and visit the Heinz History Center itself. It's a great, great, it's a lot of fun. It's extremely interesting. I love the place, and make sure you check out the Italian American program, obviously, as well. Now, how long have you been there?
I've been at the History Center just under 7 years. I started in early 2013.
Okay. And where were you before that?
Before that, I was living in Chicago, and I worked in the museum industry, but I'd always been in art museums and art galleries before I made the switch to a history museum. And I did so because of the Italian-American angle. I myself am Italian-American, and my family came from Italy to Western Pennsylvania. So my personal story is very similar to a lot of people in this part of the United States. So that's what initially attracted me to the job at the History Center, because it was a nice blend of what I did professionally and my personal background.
Sure is. Now, all the things that you've heard and read and collected and have seen, did that give you even more of an appreciation of what your family did, the ones who first came over here from Italy, and really paved the way for your family and what you're doing now?
Absolutely. And what I think is so interesting is each family's story, each immigration narrative of how people came to Western Pennsylvania, it's really powerful when you get together and you start to see just how many people it touched, and to be able to look at a group and see the sacrifices and how, in hindsight, it really did uplift the Italian American community. It's great to be able to help to continue to document that foundation that I think so many people are aware of. But it's nice to be able to have a legacy for future generations that don't have the same access to those stories as we have had with our parents and our grandparents.
Exactly. That's very well put. I was lucky that my parents, both my parents obviously were born in Italy, in southern Italy, in Calabria. And I knew it always kind of bothered me, Melissa, whenever I ask an Italian, hey, where's your family from? And they don't know. So, somewhere in Italy. Well, I know that, but where? And whereas my parents always told me, they told me exactly where they met. And I was there, obviously, and I saw it. So I knew everything about that. But what you're doing is, okay, maybe if your family did not teach you or tell you about these things, or even as a whole, our history as a whole, you can go to the Italian American Program at the Highlands History Center and find out about it, which is, I think, fantastic. But another question that I don't even have written here, but just hit me. How many of the older Italians, I'm talking about, let's just say 70 and older, have come to your place and seen the displays and have been there? How many? I mean, I know you don't know the exact number, but has there been a nice number of the 70 plus of the older Italians who were born over there and made their living here and raised their families here? What have they said about your program? Has that happened?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what's always exciting for me is when we do a public program and it brings people into the fold who are Italian born, who have those memories, because often if they're willing to come up to me and share them, I'll start probing for more because I want to know, how did they come to the United States? What was their circumstance life? Did they have people here? What industries were they in? Because, you know, we're losing that demographic quickly. And because of how immigration in America has changed, for Italian Americans, they are representative of one of the last generations of Italian migrants, because the Italians coming today come from very different circumstances. They're more the white collar, college educated, working in the fields of research, medicine, law. They're very different than the Italians of our generation that came primarily from the South, came from agricultural backgrounds, came as unskilled workers. So we do see that a lot of people who have that connection to Italy come and engage with us, because in some cases, we're one of the few places that still is offering, you know, a concert where they can hear songs in Italian dialect, or a documentary that they can see about the Andrea Doria, things that are a part of their memory and their lifetime.
And that's so important. And you really articulated that great as far as the difference about our grandparents and parents, how and why they came here and what they did when they got here compared to what the Italians who are coming here now, what they're doing. That's, to be honest with you, I didn't think about that, believe it or not. And I'm glad you mentioned that. But on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute in Wexford, Pennsylvania. We were right back with Melissa Marinaro, the director of the Italian-American program at the Heinz History Center here in Pittsburgh. We'll be right back. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at aspirepediatrictherapy.com. Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, Melissa, now tell us about some of the items that you have come across. Let's just stick to the sports part of it, since this is a sports show. Some of the great, I mean, I know that I can name a bunch of them, but I want you to name some of the special sports items that you have received.
Some of my favorite sports items in the collection are related to Franco's Italian Army, because it allows us to tell two stories. It allows us to talk about Franco Harris and, you know, what a great football player he was, and about the Immaculate Reception, as well as about his philanthropic nature. And he's been so involved with charities and local, you know, he's really adopted Pittsburgh as his home, even though he's a New Jersey native. Then the other story is about the Italian army itself that developed out of the sand group in East Liberty that wanted to be, they wanted an army of support for Franco Harris. And they would go to the Pittsburgh games, and they had their army helmets, and they had their homemade shirts and scarves and hats and all kinds of cool swag. And, you know, it became a cultural phenomenon, and it grew as it really grows out of this period in American history where in the 70s, Americans of different ethnic backgrounds start looking at their heritage and are proud of where they came from, because they're starting now to see that success in America. They've assimilated. So for me, that's one of the really wonderful pieces that relates to our sports history, because it tells us both about a great athlete and a great Pittsburgh team, but also about the fans that connect with that athlete and how they see themselves in him.
Right. No, I love that display. I mean, I love all of it, but yeah, I certainly know what you're talking about by being there and looking at all that stuff. Now, is there something that you were shocked that you received that you didn't think you'd get it, but you asked for it, or it just fell into your lap?
You know, when it comes to sports collecting, I haven't had that case, but I will say something that we have on display in the sports museum that I do think is a wow artifact is Chip Ganassi's Indy 500 car.
I love that car. I was
yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that you see it and you just think, oh my, number one, how'd you get it in here?
How'd you get it in there? Exactly.
Yeah. And also too, just thinking about where that car has been and the power of that vehicle. So I think that that certainly is one of the star pieces of the sports museum, and relates to an Italian American from Westmoreland County who got their, you know, got their start here in the region.
And as soon as you go in there, I mean, that thing just obviously just stands out. I mean, I never get tired of looking. I never get tired of looking any of that stuff, but that car just is like a magnet to everyone. So mm-hmm. I definitely see how did you guys get it in there?
You know,
I heard you drove it in there.
This it came before my time, but I will say that the part of the building where the sports museum is in is an addition that we did. It was 2010 when it opened, and might have been a little earlier, but when they were renovating that space, there were certain things that came in that I know would be very difficult to get in today because of the walls. We do have quite a large freight elevator, and that's how we move big things around the building.
Okay.
And of course we always have to negotiate with our exhibits team and the structural engineer to make sure that we can put things where they are in the building.
Okay.
There's a lot that goes into planning an exhibit that you wouldn't think about.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, that's one of the things kind of that you touched on. Tell us about the process of what gets, you know, that is out there. I know you guys have another room where there's a bunch of things, but tell us, how does one's artifacts, you know, get out there on display,
sure,
permanent display?
Sure. So we never say anything's on permanent display because ultimately things move and change as we continue to age as an organization. So we do have some things that are on long-term display. I will say for the Italian-American section, I try to rotate things every few years for, in some cases, the integrity of the object. When you have textiles, when you have items that you, with paper labels, such as some of our Heinz bottles, you want to be careful for how long things are exposed to light. You want to make sure that you're giving objects resting periods. But what I think people will be surprised to find out is that only 10% of the museum's permanent collection is on display, which means the other 90% is in our storage facility, which is on site. It's temperature and humidity controlled. Everything is stored in acid-free materials, which means that over time, the conditions that we are keeping the items in should give it a lifespan that will allow us to continue to be able to display things into the future.
Now, you had, you sent me a picture of my uniform and the lady was working on it. I think she was spraying something on it. I guess that is to preserve the color and stuff like that, et cetera, correct?
I don't think she was spraying anything on it. I think she might have been measuring the pieces in that image.
Okay.
Whenever we catalog anything for our database, not only do we record the historical significance and the provenance of items, but we will also describe what a piece looks like. We'll measure it. We'll take account if there's any damage and describe that. We will look at how things have aged, if there's any, say, discoloration. Or they'll make notes if a piece needs to be marked for conservation in the future. When an object is donated to the museum, it begins a new life as an artifact. So some of the different things I was describing are a part of that process that an artifact goes through once it enters the museum's collection.
Okay. Now, if somebody wanted to see something that is not on display, can they give you a call and say, hey, I'd like to see this, or how does that process work?
Yes, so they would contact somebody on our staff, ideally on our museum team, and they would just request, we ask that people give us at least 2 weeks' notice so that we can work with our staff that pulls those items. And then what we do is we set up an appointment for them to come and look at the pieces. And we do have that often with family members if they have family right. coming in town from other parts of the country and they want to share with them a piece that they donated to our collection. We work with families all the time to make things available.
That's great. Okay. All right. On that, we're going to take another commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute in Western Pennsylvania. Right back with the director of Italian American program at Heinz History Center, Melissa Marinaro. We'll be right back. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. Dreher Physical Therapy Institute is a leader in the field of outpatient physical therapy, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. With over 30 locations in Pennsylvania and one conveniently located in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we are excited for the upcoming opportunity to expand in the local Pittsburgh market. Our therapists are dedicated to compassionate care and superior results and are ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations. Okay, Melissa, now is there a wish list for you, Melissa, that you would love to get your hands on? Are there a few items that you say, man, I'd love to get that or those?
Well, I will tell you, and since we're talking on the theme of sports, there is something from the sports world that I would love. I have been working on researching studio wrestling, and I had the great pleasure of doing some oral histories with some of the gentlemen who were a part of the world of studio wrestling. And one day I'd love to have a uniform. We did get some really great posters from Frank Durso and his wonderful wife, Diane. They donated them to the History Center and their different matches from about the mid 60s that they had around town. And many of the people appeared on studio wrestling. And so I'd love to be able to one day have a textile to go along with those posters.
That would be fantastic. I loved studio wrestling. I love those posters that you're talking about. And obviously Bruno Sammartino was my favorite. And later on, he became a friend, which was crazy for me. Still, I never got used to that. But another guy who I used to love was Batman. It was B-A-T-T-M-A-N. And he was Italian, Tony Marino. And if you could, I don't know if you could ever get that suit. Man, if you did, I'd be up there the next day. That would be my wish list, because we loved studio wrestling. Is that something that, have you ever talked to anybody about Tony Marino?
I've heard of Tony Marino's name. I'm familiar with Batman. I've never talked to anybody who's talked about him. I would love to talk to more people since we do oral histories. I'd say along with wish list, I'd love to do some more interviews with people who are around the world of studio wrestling and were doing the circuits in the 50s and the 60s, because even the business side of wrestling was so different in that era. And
oh, sure
it's very fascinating to hear about the different markets that the wrestlers would work around the United States. And, you know, Pittsburgh, it was a huge market at the time. And a lot of Italian Americans were wrestlers on the circuit.
Right. Well, one of them was Jumpin' Johnny DeFazio, who I'm sure you've heard of that name. And he would know a lot about it. Dominic DiNucci, they both live in the Pittsburgh area. And I'm sure you've had contact with them. And they would be unbelievable storytellers and interviews. And I'm sure they would have something that would be great for your display. But yeah, that I would absolutely love. I love everything about that place, especially the Italian American section. And if you had the studio wrestling things, that would be fantastic. So Melissa, you kind of answered this already, but with the studio wrestling, but what's next for the Italian American program? What's the big project that's on the docket?
We got a lot of big things coming up. Our next big program is Italian Heritage Day, which is on Sunday, October 6th. I have a conference I'll be presenting at in October. With it being Italian Heritage Month, it's a pretty busy month. We have a holiday concert that will be on Thursday, December 5th, Un Natale Italiano. It's going to be a mix of both Italian and American Christmas standards. And that's going to be just in time for an exhibit we have opening up in mid-November called A Very Merry Pittsburgh. It's looking at holiday traditions around our region, and there'll be a number of Italian-American stories told in that exhibit. So those are some of the bigger things we have going on this fall.
That's great. Matter of fact, I was just telling somebody the other day, Saturday night, I remember we were talking about some of the foods that my mom used to prepare, and I make them now. And that scent just brings me back to when I was a little kid. So that's going to be a great thing for you guys. And I was going to also bring up the Italian Heritage Day, which you brought up. I've been to one of them. Unfortunately, I usually have games that day, as I do this year. But maybe if we get rained out, I'll definitely stop up for sure, because I really enjoyed it. But so we're going to finish up the interview here with something we call the Dreher Physical Therapy Lightning Round. Just a few questions, quick questions, and a few quick answers for me, Melissa. First of all, your favorite athlete that you have worked with?
Oh, that I've worked with personally. I mean, I have to say, I can't say enough nice things about Franco Harris. He is just so genuine and generous, and he's really done a lot of great things for the Italian American community, and I really enjoy being around him.
Good. I thought you were going to say me, but that's okay. We'll keep it at Franco.
Okay.
I'm just teasing you. A favorite item in the entire Heinz History Center for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I know I have to say an Italian American one.
Okay.
Oh, can I come back to this one? That's a hard one for me to answer. It's like asking me to pick my favorite child.
Right. I'm sure. And then let me ask you this. What is the most popular item in the Heinz History Center? And I was just thinking real quick, because of the Fred Rogers movie. I don't know if that maybe ramped up those particular things at all. But what is the most popular item that people talk about the most, or the thing that they gravitate to the most?
I do think you're right. People love the Mr. Rogers set. But I'll say the streetcar is also a big crowd pleaser, because I know whenever my dad comes in the building, he loves seeing the streetcar because it reminds him of riding the streetcars to Pittsburgh when he was a kid. So I think that's an obvious favorite. And then the Heinz exhibit too. People who grew up with Heinz and are Heinz fans just love learning about the different things we have related to that company.
Great.
So it's hard to say, but we do have some big fan favorites, and those are a few of them.
Something just hit me. This would be the last question. Now, Melissa, like with any Hall of Fame, the more inductees, the bigger the building has to be. You guys, let's just say the Italian American program, you have so many fantastic artifacts, their items, and you're going to be getting more. Do you think that you guys are going to have to build a new room or a new section?
And that is the challenge with any growing organization, including a museum that has a growing collection, which is three-dimensional, is you do get a point to where you reach capacity. And fortunately, we're not there yet. But I try to remain very nice and kind to my colleagues, because I know that when I bring in big things, either because they're heavy or they're large, I know I have to work with them. And we're in good standing, so I can still continue to bring in items to the Italian American collection for years to come.
Good, good. Two last things. Number one, on July 13th of 2020, I had nominated Melissa for the Pittsburgh Sportsline Hall of Fame, and she was obviously voted in because of her great work for the Italian American program at Times History Center. So I'll see you before then, because I definitely plan on coming up way before then, at least once, a couple times with my family at the Heinz History Center. But she's very well deserving, and I'm so happy for her to be inducted, and I can't wait for that day in July. That's number one. Number two, I've been very, very blessed over the years to have received different honors or what have you, different awards and stuff like that. But I got to tell you, having my things and that trophy displayed in that trophy room, as I told you at the beginning of the show, Melissa, every single day that I go by that place, I look over and I'm just so grateful that you accepted it and put it where you put it. It's right next, at least last time I saw it, was right next to Dan Marino's Dapper Dan Award, which, he's one of my favorites. So that made it that much more important to me. But I can't tell you the honor it is for me to have that trophy in there. So thank you for your kindness towards me and my career or whatever, and for being on the show and for all the great work that you were doing to preserve our history in sports and just our Italian history. You're doing a fantastic job. You're passionate about it. You do a great job. And I thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. Because I just think it's so great to be able to share what we have at the History Center, because that's why we do it. We do it because we want people to be able to engage with it and access their history.
Yeah, well, again, nobody does it better than you. So thank you so much. And when I come up there, I'll let you know I'm coming up, and would love to say hello, quick hello to you. So thanks again for everything.
Well, thank you. Grazie mille.
There you go. Like that. Grazie, Melissa. Okay. Ciao, ciao. My dialect is a little bit different than hers, I'm sure. But okay, everybody. Well, that was a great interview. Melissa does, as I said, a fantastic job at the Heinz History Center. Make sure you go to the Heinz History Center in Pittsburgh. If you don't know, I'm going to get the address here real quick. We got some time here. I just had it on here a second. But anyway, as always, I want to thank my producer, Adam Zaluf. I want to thank my sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PDC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Traer Physical Therapy in Wexford, Pennsylvania. The address is, I'll get the address in a second here. The hell is it, Adam? Anyway, I'll find it. But anyway, as always, I want to thank the listeners. You can listen to the show on ClaudioRossano.com. Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify, and the Heinz History Center address. You can look it up, because I don't want to stall too much. I don't want to waste too much. Now, here it is, 1212 Smallman Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15222. That's the Heinz History Center, 1212 Smallman Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15222. The phone number is 412-454-6000. It's a great place. Great place. Check it out. Okay, everybody. As always, I appreciate you listening and want to thank my mom and dad. We'll be talking about them in a few weeks as well. Adam Zaluf, again, thank you for everything. And thank you guys for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRossano.com.
Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, 814-503-8070. Dreher Physical Therapy Institute is a leader in the field of outpatient physical therapy, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. With over 30 locations in Pennsylvania and one conveniently located in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we are excited for the upcoming opportunity to expand in the local Pittsburgh market. Our therapists are dedicated to compassionate care and superior results and are ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations.